Her name was Marnie. I had gone to school with Marnie throughout my elementary school years and on into junior high. I wouldn't say that we were super close, but we had had some kind of casual conversations over the years. We certainly would say that we knew each other, but the relationship was somewhat superficial. In grade 10, though, I decided I wanted to ask Marnie out. Now, let me just make it clear. I was no kind of Casanova kind of guy. I wasn't a smooth talker in any sense of the word. In fact, whenever I was around girls, I often would get quite tongue-tied. The lead-up time to asking Marnie out, I found incredibly stressful. I didn't have the guts to ask her out in person. I mean, that was going to put me too much out on a limb, so I decided it would be through a phone call. And I can remember that phone call like it was yesterday. Now, it was back when there were no cell phones. There were not even cordless phones at the time, so I couldn't just get my phone and kind of hide in my room and try and make a phone call quietly. I had to use the phone in the hallway, out in the open, and dial the number. And I can remember dialing the number, and just before I got to the last number, I'd hang up the phone. And I would pace my room a few more times, go back to the phone, start dialing, last number, hang up again. And eventually, I let that last number go, and I called the number. Oh my goodness, did it ever feel like I was putting myself out there, putting myself out on a limb? It felt so risky. Because if she said no to me, I knew that I was going to be embarrassed, and I wasn't sure that I would ever be able to face her again. Part of me wanted to enter into a relationship with her. Part of me just wanted to run and hide. It can be risky taking steps towards a relationship. And although my story talked about a potential romantic relationship, I'm not just wanting to talk about that today, because there are far more relationships than just those. And regardless of the kind of relationship, we still enter into some relationships and hold ourselves back from some others. And yet, as we begin this new year, I wonder whether God is offering us an invitation today. An invitation to consider the risks and the gifts of relationship. And issuing to us a call to take a step towards relationship. As we begin to reflect on this today, I want us to spend some time with our scripture readings, focusing primarily on the first passage we heard from the Acts of the Apostles, and then touching briefly on the gospel passage that we heard from Matthew's Jesus story, which spoke about Jesus' baptism in the Jordan by John the Baptist. In our first passage from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard some words from Peter as he shared with those who were gathered around him things that he'd come to learn, things that he believed God had come to show him. And I have to say that today's passage is one in which the context is absolutely essential. Devoid from its context, Peter's words may well have been great words, actually a great sermon, really, with some very important truths in them. But it's how those truths came to be learned by Peter in the first place that really tell the story. You see, Peter had an experience that he previously never would have imagined would have happened. And it was in this experience that Peter's life was changed. What do we know about Peter? Well, fortunately, Scripture tells us a fair bit about Peter. We know that Peter was a fisherman, along with his brother Andrew. We know that Peter was among the first disciples that was called by Jesus to be a disciple, to be a follower of him. We get the sense through Scripture that Peter was somebody who was obviously impulsive. He often would say things before it seemed like he thought things through. Or at least that happened while he was following along behind Jesus. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Peter that kind of comes to the forefront is one of great leadership and conviction. It was Peter who preached to the crowds of people on the day of Pentecost. And where, and from that, from him speaking to them, how some 3,000 people or more came to become followers of Jesus. As Jesus had once said about Peter, upon Peter I'll build my church, upon you I'll build my church. And he said that Peter was a rock of faith. In the book of Acts, it appears as though those words of Jesus are finally coming to fruition. Another thing we know about Peter is that Peter was a good Jew. Although he wasn't a religious leader of the day, he wasn't a scribe or a Pharisee, he still was somebody who followed the Jewish faith and the Jewish law. And he was one who practiced it faithfully. As such, Peter did the things that faithful Jewish people were meant to do. And he refrained from doing the things that were forbidden. Peter seemingly followed the Jewish law as close as he could to the letter as possible. And one of the things faithful Jewish people were to avoid was becoming unclean. One could become unclean through touching things that were unclean, eating food that was unclean, or associating with people who were unclean. Peter religiously followed the law. He religiously paid attention to the things that he did daily. He watched what he ate, he watched what he touched, and he avoided close contact with Gentiles, people who weren't Jews, because they were believed to be unclean. As far as Peter was concerned, this wasn't merely an expectation that he placed upon himself. It was something that he expected of others as well. He knew it full well. Also that other people expected it of him. Being right, being seen to be right, doing right, being seen doing right, all of those things would have been important to Peter. So I'm sure you can imagine what might have been going on inside of him the day when, while during a time of prayer, he was presented with a vision. And in this vision, he was told to eat certain animals. But the thing was, the animals that he was told to eat were animals that he knew to be unclean. With each directive to eat, Peter protested, "Surely not, Lord. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And with each protest, the voice in the vision responded, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Now, all of this was going on prior to our passage today. Now, all that in itself may have been challenging and even somewhat troubling to Peter. But still, it was only a vision. In reality, Peter wasn't being asked to actually do anything. Because in reality, there were no unclean animals right there before him. It was just a vision. But that didn't last long. Because before he knew it, there were some men who came knocking at his door. Men who came looking for Peter. There were three people in all. Two were servants, and one was a soldier. And all three of them were people who worked for a man from Caesarea named Cornelius. Now, Scripture tells us that Cornelius was a God-fearing man. Another way of saying that he was a man of faith. He was also a man of action. He put his faith into play. He reached out to the poor. He gave generously to others. He was somebody who prayed regularly. But the thing was, Cornelius was a Gentile. He wasn't from among the Jews. Scripture tells us that he was a centurion from what was known as the Italian regiment. Now, while they were both men of faith, Cornelius and Peter, they were like at opposite ends of the spectrum. And I think if you were to ask Peter, he might have even said that the two of them weren't even on the same spectrum. Remember, Peter was somebody for whom it was important to do right and to be seen doing right. Among other Jewish people, there would have been absolutely no question. One could never have table fellowship with a Gentile, and one certainly could not go into a Gentile's home. And yet after that vision about the unclean animals, and after that knock on the door by those three men, and the request that Peter go with them back to Caesarea to meet with Cornelius, Peter decided he had to follow what he thought God might be trying to say to him. He believed he had to go and meet with this man named Cornelius. Can you imagine what that journey might have been like for Peter? Can you imagine some of the things that might have been going through Peter's head while he was on that journey? He was being asked to do something he'd never done before. He was being asked to put himself out there, put his reputation on the line. By this time in the ministry of the disciples since the death and resurrection of Jesus, Peter had clearly become one of the leaders of those disciples. Not only do we get a sense that the disciples looked to Peter for leadership and guidance, we also get the sense that new Christians also looked to Peter for leadership. What Peter did mattered. It helped bear witness to a life of faith. Now, Peter very well could have avoided any risk. Peter very well could have said, I'm just going to hold on to what I know for sure. He could have talked himself out of the vision, told himself that it was just his mind playing tricks on him. He could have even have argued that Satan was trying to disqualify him, knowing that if he stepped out and did something that wasn't in line with what God wanted, then his future ministry could be placed in jeopardy. It was one heck of a risk. If he was wrong, if he met with Cornelius against God's wishes, then likely his ministry would have gone down in flames. But Peter was willing to take a risk because he believed that God was behind it. He was willing to travel with the people who'd come to his home so that he could then go and meet with this Gentile soldier. And not would he only meet with Cornelius, he was willing to go into Cornelius' home. And while he was there, while he met with Cornelius, Peter became aware of the gift that comes from relationship. And so we have the first few verses of our passage today with Peter saying, "Now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." Sometimes in relationship, you have to put yourself out there. Sometimes in relationship, you have to put your hesitations aside. Sometimes in relationship, you have to be willing to risk. Even before you know how the relationship will develop and unfold. Why? Because there is potential for gift in relationship. Earlier this week, as I reflected on the passage from Matthew's Jesus story that we heard read this morning about Jesus' baptism, I found my attention drawn to the interaction between John the Baptist and Jesus. And the more I thought about it, the more I came to believe that both of them were taking risks in that encounter. Remember the baptism. It was public. There were many people there, many people around. And when Jesus came forward to baptism, John protested. He didn't think that he should be going through with a baptism of Jesus. He knew that Jesus was greater than he was. He didn't think he should be doing anything to Jesus. In addition, John would have been very wary of all the bystanders who would have been watching, who might have been thinking in any way that John was in fact greater than Jesus. Baptizing Jesus was risky. It was also risky for Jesus. This was an honor-shame-based culture. Those who came forward for baptism, they put themselves out there. In front of others, they confessed their sins and took upon themselves the shame that went along with those sins. Even though Jesus had no sin to confess, he was taking a risk that others might see him as one no different at all from themselves. He was taking a risk that others might not see God when they looked at him. It was a risk. But Jesus was willing to take the risk. Because by going through with the baptism, he was kind of putting himself in a level playing field with people. He was willing to be baptized because he knew that while there was risk, there was also a great gift in relationship. You know, as I look at my life, I recognize that some of the greatest gifts I've received have come within the context of relationship with others. As an introvert, it is easy for me to stay within myself and to hold myself back from others. I think one of the greatest challenges in my life has been entering into conversations with people that I don't know. So often I'm afraid I'm not going to know what to say. Now you might think, hearing me say that, you might It might come as a bit of a surprise to you. So, some of you think, Stephen, that doesn't sound like you. But particularly as you recall, perhaps how I came up to you the first time that I met you. Or you saw me go up to somebody else who was new at church. But it doesn't come easily. I find it challenging. Just ask Mandy how challenging I find it. When we go to big social events, I'll often say to Mandy, make sure you stay close by. I need that protection. It's challenging. Relationship, it's risky. But there is gift in relationship. Peter discovered that only after he took the risk to enter into relationship with Cornelius. Through that relationship, Peter was able to see God at work. He was able to catch a glimpse of God at work in and through the people around him. I wonder how many of us here today, or wonder how many of us who are watching this service via our live stream, hold ourselves back from relationships sometimes. Or hold ourselves back from entering into some relationships from others. I wonder how many consider such a thing too risky at times. I wonder how many of us find relationships exhausting. And so we decide simply to keep ourselves to ourselves. I know real relationship requires an investment on our part. But might it be the case that it's only as we're willing to make such an investment that there's any possibility of experiencing the potential gifts that might come from relationship? That it's only as we take a step and are prepared to take a risk that we're able to receive the gift. Let me just say, sometimes the risks we take do cause us to stumble. When I finally got the courage to make that final phone call to Marnie, she ended up turning me down. And it hurt a bit. But it didn't prevent me from taking risks with others. You know, there are a host of people now with whom I would say God has gifted me through those relationships I have with them. As I think about myself, as you think about yourself, as I think about this congregation, this community of faith that we're a part of, I wonder to what extent we've allowed ourselves to discover the gifts that lie within us. I want you for a moment to take a look around this place. Look at some of the people who are here. And we're going to have the camera do a bit more of a wider angle. Just so you won't be able to see everybody, those of you who are live streaming, but you will see some of the people who are in this place today. And you can be, and I know that some of you at home, you've been seeing which of the other people who are online today. How many of the people that you see have you spoken with before? How many of the people that are here can you say that you really know? One of the things that I think we're blessed with at Holy Trinity is the wide diversity of cultures that we have at Holy Trinity. Much of the time we have, you can tell, there are people from many different countries within our church community. But I'm also aware that much of the time, people congregate more with people who are like them. And I believe that we need more interaction. in our coffee times after church, and I'm really hoping that we're going to be able to have coffee times more frequently this year. But in our coffee times after church, I believe God wants people to take steps towards others. People that they perhaps have never spoken to before. That God might be wanting people to stay behind after coffee rather than leaving quickly after church. So that together we can build community amongst us. It's going to require some risk. Waiting for others to come up to us requires no risk. The risk will be for you to go up to them, for you to take the first step. And while it may not mean that you are going to meet your future best friend, I believe that we will see God more clearly and we will experience God's gifts more often as we enter into relationship with others. So it leads to some questions I want to leave with you this week, things I want you to be reflecting on. First one is this: in what way do you hold yourself back from taking steps towards relationship? How do you hold yourself back? In what way have you allowed the possibility of risk to overshadow the possibility of gift when it comes to relationship? And what is God saying to you about that today? And finally, who might God be nudging you towards in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in this church? And what might you discover as a gift from God if you were willing to take a step towards relationship? Peter took a great risk in traveling from Joppa to Caesarea that day. But if he hadn't taken that risk, he might never have come to know the all-pervasive love and grace of God that came by way of relationship. May we resolve this year to open ourselves up to the possibility of greater relationship. May we be willing to take steps, take a risk, that we might come to know God more, might come to know and experience God's gifts. And we come to know all those things in and through people we may never have expected. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love for us. We give you thanks that that you reveal yourself to us. We give you thanks for relationships. Lord, we recognize that sometimes we hold back from entering into relationships with others. We're just not sure. Lord, give us courage to take steps towards relationship with others. Open our eyes to see people and to start imagining the gifts that might come through interaction with others. Lord, build that in us, build that in this church community, that we might become the community that you call us to be. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.